Ever since last month, when the world was stunned by Pope Benedict XVI's resignation and today's election of a new pope, religion's been on the minds of many. And that includes Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's political analyst, and he joins us now. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Cindy.
Well, it's with this backdrop and then one a little closer to home that you recently wrote about religion and Michigan's lawmakers. And Bill Ballinger, publisher of Inside Michigan Politics, recently surveyed how many members of the legislature are members of specific religious denominations. What interested you so much about this survey?
Well, I thought it was sort of interesting in that the survey found that the legislature pretty closely mirrors the religious makeup of Michigan as a whole. If anything, Episcopalians, who've been in decline for a long time, may be a little underrepresented. There are only three of them out of 110 legislators. Of course, that's not too different, although they were always the sort of the ruling class religion in America. When Congress started, most of the founding fathers were Episcopalians or Anglicans, and now what's amusing to me is that there are only three of them. Two of them are in the Senate. One of them is the one of the most conservative women in the Senate. The other is one of the most liberal women.
That's right. But they're all women, aren't they?
They certainly are. All three Episcopalians are women. And, of course, women are an increasing number. But as in the general population, Catholics are the largest group. Baptists have somewhat declined. United Methodists were the second largest denomination. But the interesting thing politically is when you put together the Catholics, whose church is officially sort of anti-abortion, and some of the more conservative Protestant denominations, you see why you have a legislature that is more actively anti-abortion, or as they say, pro-life, than the population as a whole.
You also thought it was interesting, a lot of them really didn't want to be pinned down, did they?
Yeah, I think that might be the most amusing part, that some of them didn't want to say a specific religion, not because they were ashamed of it, but because when they're home campaigning, they go to as many churches as possible on Sunday and like to give the impression the various denominations that they're one of them. But Ballinger is tenacious and managed to eventually pin everybody down as to what denomination they primarily were a member of. There was one lone agnostic who, as you might expect, was from Ann Arbor, and nobody openly said they were an atheist. There was one Muslim, only one Mormon, which might be a bit surprising, and then everybody else was sort of scattered among about as many denominations as you can think of, mainly Protestant.
Now, you did write in your column that when you were growing up, and here's your quote, enlightened people thought that religion had no place in politics, and this was sort of settled when the first Roman Catholic president, John Kennedy, was elected. But as you point out, it really does matter in a different way. Let's get into more about this abortion issue and the power of the Right to Life lobby.
Well, they have a tremendous amount of power, and you're absolutely right. I think it's not that religion matters so much. I think there are some people who still believe that Muslim Americans can't be truly good Americans, but certainly there's not the prejudice. We thought when Kennedy was elected in 1960, it was the first time a Roman Catholic had managed to become elected, and we thought we had sort of broken through a prejudice barrier. And while it was lesser noted, when Al Gore nominated a vice presidential candidate who was an Orthodox Jew, there didn't seem to be any negative reaction. In fact, Gore's almost winning Florida was in part attributed to a huge turnout of the Jewish vote in Florida because they were proud of Lieberman being on the ticket. But the thing that is a divide is very interesting to speculate, at least for me, whether John F. Kennedy could have been elected today. There was no abortion issue in 1960. There wasn't any until Roe versus Wade in 1973. And Catholics are now quite fiercely divided. A lot of them don't follow the teachings of their church or don't hold with it. And some of them do, so that you have phenomena where in 2004, in a very close presidential election, John Kerry, another Roman Catholic nominated for president, not only lost, he lost the Catholic vote. Which, of course, John F. Kennedy won the Catholic vote by overwhelming 3-1 margin. So this issue has really impacted American politics, and to the extent that it's a religious issue, I guess you could say it is religion and politics.
Now, there's been a lot of talk, Jack, among political pundits, both nationally and statewide, that Republicans might be shooting themselves in the foot, in a sense, doing themselves a disservice, focusing too much on controversial social issues. Let's just think of the Republican males who've gotten themselves in terrible hot water as of late with their comments on rape and abortion, rather than focusing on economic issues. In your opinion, how much is religion behind this?
Well, it's not religion in the sense that the priest is telling them from the pulpit who to vote for, but if they have strong opinions that abortion is never okay Those are usually opinions motivated by religion. And so that sometimes not only gets in the way of practical politics, but of electability. You know, it's not just me saying this. Some Republicans are saying it. Brooks Patterson, who always was seen as a conservative Republican, the longtime head of Republican politics in Oakland County, is now the Oakland County executive, has been cautioning his people to back off of this, forget about the social issues. He says, when we start talking about economic issues, we win. When we talk about social issues, we lose. And that certainly has been the case in affluent places like Oakland County, where you have cities like Birmingham and Bloomfield Hills, where the Democrats, especially in national and statewide races, do much better now because there are a lot of affluent, working Republican women who find their economic stands just fine but can't swallow the party's stand on social issues.
Yeah, so that there really could be something to that about shooting themselves in the foot.
Of course, it's helped the Republicans in other places, in some, you know, conservative Baptist areas in the South, and in some cases in Michigan, Republicans do better than they used to. But on balance, the consensus is that the more Republicans rely on social issues, the less likely they are to win national elections.
Jack, overall, do you think religion is complicating politics in Michigan?
I think social issues are complicating politics in Michigan. I think that you know, as far as religion specifically, as the percentage of Muslims who become citizens and vote continues to grow, this may be a factor, but we've often don't realize that many Muslims are not yet citizens, while the Muslim population is increasing, and even some of those who are citizens don't vote. In the city of Dearborn, where Muslims are now a very significant presence, I think they have only one city council person. I'm not quite sure of that, but that was the case for a long time. And when a Muslim candidate ran for mayor a few years ago, they did very, very poorly. So this is a case, I think, the closest we have to actually a religious difference. It's more a social issue difference, and it's more a case where sort of what we might call fundamentalist religions, fundamentalist Protestants, and traditional Catholic hierarchy are sort of making common cause against more liberal Protestant denominations, and as all the polls show us, sort of conventional mainline, maybe socially liberal Protestant denominations are losing. They're losing members, have been losing members for 40 or 50 years, and whereas the sort of more conservative denominations, these huge sort of evangelical churches, some of which have thousands of members, have been growing.
Where do you think things go from here, Jack, in terms of politicians talking about religion? Of course, there was so much attention paid to the fact that Mitt Romney was Mormon in the presidential race, and really that didn't affect it at all. A lot about nothing. Do you think there will be more or less in terms of politicians being upfront about religion?
I think that what may happen is that, first of all, people will be watching the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage in California, although a lot of people, including me, are sort of baffled that the public has changed so rapidly on this particular issue. While there hasn't been a lot of movement on abortion, people have rapidly come to accept sort of gay rights, even gay marriage, and you'll probably have a situation where you'll have a number of states where it's legal and a number of states where it's not. I think the Republican Party has to decide whether they want to keep emphasizing and talking about this, and I think if Republicans continue to lose presidential elections, eventually they'll come to a point sort of like they did with Social Security and some of the New Deal reforms, where they'll say, well, it's okay if we're against this personally, but we're not going to emphasize this, we're not going to talk about this anymore in our campaign. Certainly, I think that Republicans are going to put huge pressure on all their candidates, not to mention the term rape, in any further campaign, unless to just say they're against it. It's very clear that Republicans lost two U.S. Senate seats that they were certain to win because of their candidates making way outside the mainstream statements about rape and about whether women who are raped could conceive. And, you know, there's a huge pressure to kind of avoid these issues. And we may eventually see this on the abortion issue.
Perhaps fewer cringe moments.
Well, the politicians will give us cringe moments of one kind or another. The only question is, what kind will there be?
Jack, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us.
My pleasure.
Jack Lesenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.